In all things, we are more than conquerors through him, Christ, who loved us. And I'm so glad that he loved us. And I just want you to know that, man, in life, you will have challenges, no doubt about it. And just before I start preaching, let me just at least thank God for those that are watching via streaming and television. God bless you. Put your hands together for them. If you're ever in the Springfield area, feel free to come see us. We'd love to have you. We'd make you feel right at home. So I want to let you know that we've been talking about, you know, the fact that we were risen, or we have risen with Christ, because not only did he get up on the third day, but the scripture lets us know that when he got up, we got up with him. One passage says that Paul was teaching, I love this passage, he says, we are crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. In other words, when Christ was crucified, I was there with him, my sins crucified with him. When I was buried, when Christ was buried, I was buried with him, and the old me was staying there, and a new me got up, I was resurrected with Christ. So I want you to know that I see myself in him and him in me. Are you with me today? So the challenges that I face, I don't face on my own. I know I'm going to have challenges, but I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength. Are you with me today? And I want you to know that God doesn't want us to see ourselves as victims any longer. He wants us to see ourselves as victorious. He wants to see ourselves as triumphant, above only, and the devil's under our feet. Are you with me today? You said, Pastor, but you don't know what I've been through. And I know all of us have testimonies, but the thing about it is whatever you've been through, that is the thing. You went through it. That means you are still not there. Can I get a witness in the house? So I stand strong on that. Somebody give God praise. He's a good God. Thank you, Lord. So therefore, let me share this by starting off by letting you know that in this life, you will have many trials and sorrows. That's my first point. And I want you to make sure you grasp this, because some people don't believe that this life you're supposed to have anything. But folks, we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. Ever since Adam sinned, sin was imputed to all mankind. So I want you to know that without a doubt, we live in a fallen world. So you will have trials. In fact, not just trials, but many what? How many of you all can attest to that? Amen. We either have come from one, in the middle of one, or we will be going to one. We just got many trials and sorrows. And I was telling people that, man, in life, you've got to prepare. Since you know they're coming, you know that we're in a battle, you know, there's no need to wait until that battle take place. Let's recognize that, man, we live in a world the enemy wants to take us out. So we need to recognize that those things come. But we need to not even think it's strange, but recognize that this is a part of living in this world. Hallelujah. And I know some say, well, I've had my share, but I wish someone else, no one wish anything on anybody else. Hallelujah. Just recognize that in this world or in this life, you will have trials and sorrows. And they come in many forms. One form they come in is bullying. That's one, and we talk to our youth. It's always one of those things where we recognize that bullying can be an issue. Sometimes we can be bullied, and sometimes we can be the bully. But the thing about it is that's part of the trial. So you have to know how you're going to deal with it. Abuse is another one. You know, either sexual abuse, verbal abuse, verbal abuse, emotional abuse. All these things can take place. And you have to be careful, because, you know, you can let this get in your heart and it can really be a challenge from now on. And we understand that bullying and abuse is not right, but it's in this fallen world, because there's some messed up people that have a whole lot of issues, and we have to continually pray and protect our children. Can I get a witness in this place? Not only are those some of the trials and sorrows, but also sickness and disease comes. And so we can't even explain every one of them. And sometimes we ask the question, why did this one have cancer? Why did this one have this sickness or that sickness? We can't explain it all, other than the fact that in the midst of what we're going through, God will bring us through it and we'll come out as victors somehow. Can I get a witness in this house? And then we have loss of loved ones. And if you I just had a call just this week letting me know that they lost their loved one. It was a baby, and they wanted us to pray for the family. I want you to know that every time, you cannot explain every situation. And sometimes you just have to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in the green pastures. Lead me beside it. And yea, though I walk the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, because thou art with me. Because we can't really wrap our minds around all the things that happens in life. We just know that God is with us, and he's going to work with us and help us see us through it. Are you with me today? Somebody give him a praise in this house. And then there are injustices. Some things happen in life, it's just not fair. And it can make you feel some kind of way. And then prejudices, you know, happen in life. And you say, well, you know, that hasn't happened, maybe not, and maybe it might, but some injustices will make you feel some kind of way. But here's what Jesus said in the book of John 16 and 33. He says, I've told you that in all things that, I've told you in all this so that you may have peace in me. In other words, with all this stuff going on, you can still have peace within me. Here on this earth, you will have what? Here it is again. How many? Many trials and sorrows. But he said, don't let that worry you because what? He says, take heart. Don't worry about it because I have overcome the world. I like King James Version. Says, in this world, you will have troubles, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that's what I'm still celebrating. I'm still celebrating the fact that Jesus Christ got up on the third day. Just because you say, well, Resurrection Sunday is over. Oh, man, no, it continues to flow in my heart every day. I begin to give God praise because sometimes on that day, we give God so much glory and praise because the enemy is defeated. But how many of you know the enemy is defeated every day? You've got to just remind yourself of that. I'm going to walk in that. The same devil that was defeated on Resurrection Sunday is defeated today. And I'm walking in that strength and the confidence of that. So it's important for us to recognize that these things will happen, but God is with us and he's already made us victorious. Let me also let you know, folks, that you're not the first one to experience abuse. You're not the first one to experience, being bullied. Let me just talk to you about one person in particular, one that I like. I love her ministry, Joyce Myers. One reason I love her ministry is because she's helped so many women in life. Put your hands together for Joyce Myers. Thank God. I thank God for her. What a blessing she is. And encourage you all to continue to listen to her teachings because they are tremendous blessings. But one thing about her, you look at her and you say, wow, is she a great woman? Do you recognize that great women have great challenge? You don't just tiptoe through the tulips to greatness. Are you with me today? Somebody has to go through challenge. And when I hear a testimony of the fact that since she was a little girl, she was raped by her father and abused by her father physically, mentally, and emotionally. I it just makes me recognize for what the enemy means for evil. God wants to use it for his good. He didn't ordain that for her. But the thing about it is that since someone violated her, God says, I'll take the very thing the enemy meant to destroy you, and I'll turn it around for your good. I think that's just how he does things. Can I get a witness in this house? And then I'll let you use that to help bless other women. Are you with me today? I think of many people. I think of LeBron James. And some of y'all say, I don't like LeBron. That's your problem. I like him. When I listen to LeBron talk about his father, it breaks my heart to recognize he didn't know his father growing up and he wasn't in his life. But all of us have issues. It doesn't make any difference how great you are or how unknown, how well-known or how unknown you are. Man, you're still going to have challenges. I look at another one, Albert Einstein. He didn't speak until he was 4 years old. Can you imagine being 4 years old and people think, well, he's not a bright young man because he's not talking. No, he was waiting until he had something to say. But when he opened his mouth, he had great things to say. I think of Ben Franklin, dropped out of school at 10 years old. Oprah gave birth to her first baby at 14 years old, and she lost that child. Can you imagine having to struggle through life even though these things happen to you? These things happen, but you can't stop in the midst of your struggle. Are you with me today? You've got to continue to go forward in the things of God. I love this other one. Thomas Edison was 1,000 times before he actually came up with the light bulb, and Franklin Roosevelt was paralyzed from the waist down at the age of 39 years old. And then finally he said, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop being president. I'm going to continue leading this country, even though my lower extremities aren't working. How many of you all know that life is not always easy and it's not always fair? But the good thing is that God is with us in the midst of everything that you go through. Somebody give him praise and glory. Hallelujah. One of my favorite, I do kind of like him because he come up with some stuff. You know, I actually should have came up with this idea. His name is Tyler Perry. He was physically abused and all types of things happened. Tried to commit suicide twice and slept in his car before he wrote one of his bestsellers. And like I say, I should have been the one that wrote this. The name of it was, you know, The Diary of a Mad Black Woman. You know, I'm thinking, I already knew that. Not because of my wife, I'm just letting you know. I've been watching y'all watching people. That's a joke, y'all, come on. I thought that was good. I don't care what you say. I know some mad black women, hallelujah. Moving on. He could have stayed in his sorrow, stayed in his anger. He could have talked about how poor me, how I was physically abused, sexually abused, and almost committed suicide and all that stuff. But no, he didn't. He continued. I love the one last one I'll talk about is Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass was, you know, an abolitionist, but that's only one thing he did. You know, he was a great politician, a great fighter for civil rights. And the other thing I like about him, he made it known that, you know, he said, without struggle, there can be no progress. Someone put it like this. I had to write it down because I thought it was just that powerful. They said that every champion was once a contender that refused to give up. Let me say it one more time. Every champion was once a contender that refused to give up. Can I let you know, folks, you can't give up. You've come too far. And God's got too much more for you in the future. Can I get a witness in this place? Why don't you give him a praise in this house? Thank you, Lord. So what happens in our life is challenges and afflictions happen. But the good thing about it in the book of Psalms, the 34th chapter, the 19th verse, it says, you know, I love this particular one. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. I like what Job said. He says, man is born of a woman, but a few days full of trouble. You know, so this trouble is coming our way. But here's my question for you. How will you respond? How will you choose to respond? It's up to us. It's up to us to determine these things happen and some of us respond different ways. But you've got to recognize, you know, you cannot affect the things that come your way. Some things are going to happen, whether you want them to or not. I don't care how much, you know, you eat chicken and fish and only organic things. Things can still come your way. Can I get a witness? Some of you proper people, organic, and there's no T in organic. Hallelujah. I don't care how often you work out at the fitness center. Some things can still come your way. Can I get witnesses? I don't care how many books you read on how to take care of finances. Sometimes things happen and they just happen. Can I get a witness? So these things come to us and, oh my God, especially those children that were abused and you had nothing to do with it and it's not your fault and you need to open your mouth and tell others that I don't care what you say, this is not my fault and nothing's wrong with me, but this was just a situation that was dealt me, but this is not going to be the end of me. I'm going forward and God is still going to get the glory out of my life somehow. Somebody give him praise in the house. So I can't control the things that come to me, but I can control my response. Amen. Let me say it one more time. I can't control the challenges and trials that come my way, but I can control my response. Look what 1 Peter says, 5:8. It says, be alert, be sober minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. He didn't say he was a roaring lion, but he prowls like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. He wants to get in your business. Now understand, in the midst of abuse, in the midst of hurts, in the midst of pain, we become at a place of vulnerability. We do. Because when you're mad, man, you know, the enemy be talking crazy to you. Can't get a witness. He will talk some mess to you, man. When you're mad, you're upset, you know, he'll begin to get in your ear and begin to say some things. If you've been abused, you know, get him back. Get him back. There's a knife over there. Say, I'm being real. I'm glad you're listening. Hallelujah. I remember when I got my feelings hurt as a child. You know, I was the oldest child. I didn't do a whole bunch of stuff. I didn't think wrong. But mom probably say differently. I'm sure she would. But and you know, sometimes the oldest would get in trouble even just because you the oldest and you was there. And one time, man, I felt it was an injustice. I got punished and I didn't even do nothing wrong. And I just pouted, folded my arms, sit in the corner. And I was sitting in the corner. And then the devil said, "You ought to run away. Just run away." I said, I'm going to run away. I'm running away. Man, I got a few things. I got up, left the house. It was dark outside, cold, heard some dogs barking. I was gone for about 15 minutes. I came back home. I said, "I'm back." They said, "We didn't even know you was gone." The issue is this. There's an enemy who will talk to you when you get in your emotions. There's an enemy who will tell you all kind of crazy things. And he's just waiting for you to get hurt. And that's why we've got to get some people healed. Because if the devil gets to you when you've had your feelings hurt, when you've been broken, when you've been, you know, just rejected, he'll tell you, take your life. He'll say, "This is what you need to do. Get a gun and make it right." Can I let you know that the devil is a liar? And if he comes to you that way, you tell him, "I don't have it. I'm not hearing anything you got to say." Somebody give God praise. Here's what the next scripture says. It says, resist him. Stand firm in the faith. Resist who? Resist the devil. It says we got to submit to God, resist the devil, and the devil will flee from us. Are you with me today? So stand firm in the faith, because you know that your family of believers, they're dealing with some of the same things that you're dealing with, the same kind of sufferings. I want you to know you're not by yourself. And the God of all grace, who is called, I love this, who has called you into his eternal glory in Christ. And this is one part like it. I like this part about it. After you have suffered a while, in other words, sometimes there's a season of suffering. You all ever been through a season of suffering? Some of you say, "I don't want to talk about that." No, I'm talking about it tonight. It happens. After you've gone through a season of suffering or for a while, he will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. This next verse, last verse in this particular passage, it says, "To him be the power forever and ever." Amen. I like what the King James says. It says, after you've suffered with him a while, you'll reign with him. How many of you all know if you've done your suffering, you don't get ready to reign with him? I give God praise. So here's what happens. Here's a question again. How will we deal with those things that come to us? We know that many trials, sorrows come our way. How will we choose to respond? Well, let me let you know that you can choose to live in your feelings. And they're a little ahead of me there, but that's cool. You can choose to live in your feelings as victims, and many take on the victim mentality. Can I get a witness? You know any victim folks? Woo, getting quiet in the victim section. Because even people challenged me last week, said, "Pastor, yeah, well, we are the victims." I said, "Well, how can you be a victim when Christ is in you and Christ, the hope of glory, resides on the inside of you? How can you be a victim?" I'm talking right now. I didn't say you didn't suffer somebody victimizing you. I'm saying, how can you walk in that mindset of I'm a victim? But that is not God's best for you. I'm so glad that I'm not a victim and choose not to walk as a victim, but I choose to walk as a victor. I choose to walk as being triumphant. I know some things happened to me, and I know some things happened to you, but God doesn't want you to live in that. Can I get a witness? I'm preaching better than you, amen, but that's okay. It's going to get better in the victim section. Hallelujah. How do you know victims, and how do you know if you're in your feelings? You know, and we have to really watch those things, but, you know that you have a victim mentality if number one is if you blame others and take no responsibility. You know, it's them, they. Him. And I tell marriages people that same thing. Why is it always the other person? Man, God, quiet. You feel something? Man, I can attest to that. You know, it's easy to blame someone else, but it came from Adam. Man, Adam started off, man, when they messed up and got, I tell the story on occasions when the kids, Cain, Abel, Seth, when they was passing by and Adam and Eve was with them. They was like saying, they looked over because they were out of the garden. They said, well, you know, Mom, Dad, what's that beautiful place over there? What's that beautiful garden over there? And Adam looked at them and looked at his wife and said, that's the place that we used to live before your mom ate us out of house and home. My thing is this. It's easy to blame somebody else. He didn't say anything. You know what he blamed? He said, God, this woman that you gave me. So he's blaming God and the woman. Didn't say nothing about him. Well, you know, I did take a little bite. Didn't say it. I said, no. It's just, how many times, instead of us taking responsibility, do we point the finger at someone else? The other part is this, is that we know that you have a victim mentality if you feel sorry for yourself and you throw a pity party. Come on over, folks. We're going to have a party over here. Party over here. Pity party over here. I just want to tell you about all my issues. Tell me about how they wronged me. Tell me about this and tell me about that. And then, man, I really get, y'all got to work with me on this. Don't hate, because I'm going to go here just for one quick minute. I won't stay long. I get so tired of black men saying it's the white man. I would have a job, but you know, the man keeping me down. Please. Please. The man keeping me down. The man keeping you down. What about the man raising you up? Jesus Christ, the man raising you up. And you walking in strength and power. Man, oh man, hallelujah. I know I get in trouble on this. Pity party. Ain't no good men around. Don't you just want to lay hands on some of those people? You don't need good men. All you need is one, right? Good man. Hallelujah. Another victim mentality thought process. You know, you know they're victims if they hold grudges and refuse to forgive. I'll never forgive. I'll never. He did it, or she did it, and I'll always hold it over their head as long as I'll hold it over their head until I die. Now, how many of you all know that you just signed your death wish? Amen. Until I die, you're going to hold that, and you're going to be angry and upset until you die? D, they become bitter and angry, angry and bitter. And they just keep that stuff in. I understand that you've gone through troubles. I understand that you've had problems. I understand that. But that is not the very reason that you should hold anger and bitterness. Thank you, Jesus. And sometimes people will talk and say, they'll say, well, you know, I'm like this because someone did something to me. How many of you all know it's no excuse? Am I doing okay? Are you glad you came? Woo, somebody give him praise. The last one, they oftentimes feel powerless and helpless. That's what they say, but many times they use that as manipulation. I can't get up. I can't do anything. If I had what you have, then I could really be something. You know, if I had this, then I could do and accomplish. But since I don't, I'm just powerless and helpless. How many of you know that is not what God intended for us? Man, anytime I look at Johnny Erickson Tata, and she fell as she dived into a pool, hit her head, and became a quadriplegic, all four extremities. You know, quadriplegic, neck down, can't move, but yet and still refusing to say I'm helpless and an invalid. Somehow God can use me even though I'm in this condition. So she began to use her mouth and begin to write books, begin to encourage people, begin to build people up, start her own ministry and doing great things as a quadriplegic. Don't tell me what God can't do in your life when you've got all your extremities. So we can choose to live in our feelings as victims and maintain a broken heart or walk in that victim mentality, follow this, or we can receive our healing. And this is very important. That's why God is called the church. We are the body of believers. We are the ones that his hands, his feet. It's important for us to look for people or recognize that the world is messed up. The world needs the light of the world. We need the light. We need Salt, the Bible says that you are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. You know, you're the one that sits on the hill that bright, that shines brightly, and the dimmer and darker the world is, the brighter we shine. Can I get a witness? So guess what? The world's looking for healing. There's so many broken children, so many broken hearts, so many broken relationships, marriages, and so forth. And it goes on. But what does God call us to do? Psalms 147 and 3, it says this. He, God, heals the brokenhearted. He heals the brokenhearted, and he bandages their wounds. How many of you know that God knows how to heal that brokenness? I don't care what they've been through, what they've gone through right now, how they've been hurt, what has taken place in their life. God knows how to heal the broken heart. And I want you to know that he healed my heart one day because I was brokenhearted. I was, man, I tell you what, you know, and probably if we're truthful about it, many of us were brokenhearted. Some of us are still operating in that, and we need to give it to God. You say, well, how can I do it? Well, you start off by recognizing that you can't handle it in your own strength. Yes. You cannot handle what you're dealing with in your own strength. And sometimes, if you're not careful, what happens is you get angry about something because either there's been abuse or unfair treatment. The next thing you know, you internalize that, hold on to that, and then the next thing you know, the enemy gets in. And now you have a stronghold because he's found a place of brokenness or a wounded place, and he sets up a stronghold. Next thing you know, you're operating under the attack of the enemy, and you don't even know you're possessed, but there's an enemy that's dealing with you, and you need to say, I need help in this area. Am I talking to anybody today? And they don't even know that they're dealing with this, but they've established a place for the enemy to get in and establish a stronghold. I want you to know that God has sent us the very his hands, his feet to help break those strongholds. And I give God praise and give God glory because the church is where you need to bring it. Hallelujah. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. Now, it brings me to my next point, which is important to me, and I pray that you grasp it because it's vital from the standpoint of what do we do? What choices are we going to make? Scripture tells us in many passages that we should make a choice. You know, who are you going to serve? What are you going to do? You know, I put before you death and life. It's up to you. We can either choose to be a victim all of our lives, or we can choose to rise up and recognize that we're seated in Christ, that we were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. That when he died, we died in him. When God showed me the picture of that, I got the visual picture of that. I began to see myself differently because now I wasn't doing this in my own strength, but I was doing it in the strength of the Holy Ghost. I was recognizing that I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength, that I was more than an overcomer and a conqueror, not because of me or what I've done or what I'm capable of, but what Christ did on the inside of me. Are you with me today? So no wonder they sing the song, take the Lord along with you everywhere you go, because you're going to need him. You're going to need him everywhere you go. Why? Because many times you try to do it on your own, in your own strength, and you wonder why you fail. The scripture says, cast all your burdens, all your cares upon him because he cares. God never intended for you to go through the brokenheartedness by yourself. Amen. Will you witness to a neighbor and say, you weren't meant to go through what you're going through by yourself? You know, somebody need to hear that because that's what the church is. And then someone would say, well, you don't understand. I'm just a private person. I don't tell anybody anything. And I'm thinking to myself, you almost to lose your mind. You almost to go crazy. You know, you're on the verge of committing suicide, and you're telling somebody you can't tell nobody. You better open up to somebody and confess to Jesus. He'll hear it. You need to tell somebody something. Can I get a witness? The Bible says, confess your faults one to the other that you might be healed. Some of us need to be healed, and the only way you're going to do it is open up. You've got that stuff internalized, and you think it's a secret, but everybody know. You think it's a secret. You think you're the only one? No. Oh, no. Others know that you're in the midst of some stuff. That, you know, you think, well, everybody thinks it's okay. And if they do think it's okay, but they don't tell you, and they when they ask you, how's things, you say, everything is fine. Things are wonderful. And you need to say, and you really want to break out and say, pray for me. I really need help. Can we talk? I need to call you sometime. And some say, well, let's pray right now. And because sometimes you may not see that individual again. Man, I give God praise and glory. Here's this next point. We can choose to live as a victim, or we can choose to live to be more than a conqueror through Christ. And this is what I've chosen. I want to live as not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror through Christ. Here's the thing. When you talk about the word conqueror, conqueror means that there's been a battle, there's been a fight, there has been, you know, some struggle. And the thing about it is you can't be a conqueror if you've conquered nothing. Are you with that? Are you with me? So the bigger your conquest, the greater your conquering is. Some of you all are set up to be super conquerors. Why? Because you've been through a big fight. Are you with me today? But I want to let you know, you choose to be more than a conqueror, not through your own strength, but through Christ, because he's the one that gives us the strength. Somebody give him praise in this house. Woo! Sometimes I just look around and see some of the things that God's people have gone through. Paul himself, he says, you know, I've been beaten. I've been left for dead on many occasions. He says, I've been put in jail. I've been put on chains on me. And he says, the thing is that, you know, I still will not let anything separate me from the love of Christ. And I want you to know that I don't care what you've been through. And some of us, oh, help me out today, God. Some of us think that because we're saved, we should never have a problem. That is not God's word. That is not, well, I'm just going to just trust God. I'm going to just walk in faith and I'll never have a problem. That is not God's word. In this life, you will have trouble, but thank God that he has overcome the world. And I walk in that because even our faith is what God has called us to walk in. So my first point is you got to grasp this, that even when you're in the midst of a struggle, when you're in the midst of a battle, the first thing you got to do, one of the first things you got to do is recognize that it's a good fight that you're in, and we fight the good fight of faith, that God has called us to fight. Why is it called the good fight? Because we win. Yeah. I want you to know that whatever you're in the midst of, and help me to preach this like I feel it, God. Right now, I see Joseph, Old Testament. Joseph was one that was sold into slavery by his own brothers. And some of us would say, well, there's never a chance for him to ever do anything great. And sometimes we struggle with the very fact saying, well, you know what? You know, Joseph was put there, and many of us would be put in a pit, and we just stay there and whine and cry and say, woe is me. But while he was down there, when he was in the pit, God was with him and sent somebody by to buy him out. And when he took him out, took him to Egypt. And then how many of you all know that if God is for you, I don't care who messes over you, who tries to jack you up, who tries to say you're not anybody. If God is for you, he'll take you from the pit, put you in place of some people that you don't even know, take you into slavery, bring you out of slavery, and put you in charge and say, what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for my good. And I bless him. Some people don't understand. I feel his anointing right now. God allowed certain things to happen in our life so that we could come out stronger. Now, I'm not saying everything. Y'all, please hear this. But if what's my boy's name that was Judas, if Judas had not been in Jesus' life, who would have sold him? Did I say the right one, Judas? So Judas had a plan in the divine eternal plan. Y'all said, are you serious? Yeah. The bully in your life. The fool in your life. Somehow God is going to use that for his glory. If it hadn't have been for Pilate You know, saying, well, I'm washing my hands of this, you know, and saying, no, Jesus, you can come off. No, he had, they're part of the plan. And the soldiers had to pierce him. This all took place so he could die and then get up on the third day. I don't care what you're in the midst of right now. It's not by accident. God is going to raise you up and going to place a testimony on the inside of you. You may not understand it right now, but like the song says, you'll understand it better by and by. Somebody give God a glory praise in this house. Oh, I feel a praise coming on. I think about my life, and I'm trying to close, y'all. But check this out. How many of you all know that some bullies in your life, I remember the bully in my life when I was in the projects. You know, and he used to bully me around all the time, man. And then I'm thank God that I had an older sister, you know, who taught me how to fight, you know. And she would fight like a girl, of course, but I still learned a few things. And man, this dude was, one day he pushed me up, I'd run in the house crying. It's in the projects, man. They was tough over there. So I had to get tough. Some of y'all need to get tough in the things of God. I'm serious. Stop letting the devil punk you out. Come on, somebody. My mom was tired of me getting punked out. Dad said, get back outside. All I had was my sister saying, what you going to do? Well, I wanted to go outside, but man, he was waiting on me. And he, one time, man, he was messing with me, and I ran back and I said, get back out there. So now I know I'm facing him face to face. I remember they taught me a few things. I ain't know very much. You know, we was in church all the time. They didn't teach you how to fight in church. I remember dude pushed me this particular time, and he punched me in my stomach. And I knew I couldn't go back in the house because they was standing on the porch. And I knew they was going to say, go back outside. And then he pushed me again. I got up. And you ever had one of the moments where you just lose all consciousness? I would like to say I did the Mr. Miyagi. I would like to say I did some Kung Fu. I would like to say I did the Muhammad Ali shuffle, but none of that was true. I did what my sister taught me, and I fought like a girl. Pop, 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 pop. He was down. He was out. And guess what? I was standing over him, and he was crying. And then I looked back. I said, "Am I pretty good now?" And I looked back, and my mom was in the doorway, and the rest of them in the doorway, saying, "If you did get back up, can I let you know that when you stand over the devil, you've got God in the background. Say, if you do get up, I got something for you. It's time for us to step up and walk in power because God is with us. We are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus." Somebody give him a shout in this house. Give him a big shout. I'm done, but I feel a praise coming on. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you all in the midst of a struggle right now. Don't you allow the enemy to knock you down and knock you out. I don't care what you've gone through. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Somebody give him praise and give him glory. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to fight the good fight of faith. Let nothing separate you from God's love. And then you stand firmly on what God says about you. Agree with what God's word says about you. So, well, I don't feel like I'm more than a conqueror. It's not based upon how you feel. It's based upon God's word. Some says, well, I don't feel like I'm victorious. Regardless of what you feel, it's not based upon what you feel. It's based upon what God's word says. Some says, well, you know, I don't feel like I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not based upon your feelings, but it's based upon what God's word says about you. You are an overcomer. You're a world overcomer. The enemy is under your feet. You're victorious. You're triumphant. The greater one lives down on the inside of you because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And I bless him and I honor him. I give him glory because he is God. Woo! Let's bless him real big in the house.